Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Welcome. Judge Jim's Big Debate. Yes, he's back. We could go on forever. I mean, normally we would go on to such different things, but I'm not going to say wing it, because I think every journalist you've seen since yesterday has winged it. And we'd be daft not to talk about it. I've not seen it. I hope kids are watching. Kids who are interested into politics. I think people have been watching what's been going on who aren't into politics, but people have been texting and saying, twittering, and watch this. I can't believe what's happening, and other silly nonsense as well. But Judge, where do we start? Take it away.
Good evening, listeners. You're tuned in to Judge Jim's Big Debate here live from a little place just outside London on Trax FM. Indeed, where do we start? We're back to Brexit again. Who's running the country? That's what I want to know. We had a massive vote yesterday, the meaningful vote, the infamous meaningful vote that should have happened before Christmas, really, but has now happened in January, took place, and it appears that it's in all the newspapers, but it's very much yesterday's news now. It is something like a 230 majority voting against the government, which is quite an incredible majority to lose any kind of motion by. And I believe it's the biggest since something like 1924, when Ramsay MacDonald had his minority Labour government in power. And I think that was all over the sacking of a communist worker or something out there somewhere. I didn't quite get to fully research it today, but that's what that was about. But this is far much larger. And I've got The Guardian here, listeners, in front of me. Pretty much out of date from this morning, really. That 202 voted in favour of the meaningful deal, and 432 voted against. So a massive, what's been described as a thumping for the Theresa May government here in Westminster. So you've got that, you've got contempt of Parliament, you've got a vote of no confidence, or a third of her MPs voted no confidence in her, and now on top of that you've got this. So whatever next? Now, we do have to look very closely there, listeners, at what is known as parliamentary convention. Now, this whole Brexit issue has created what could only be described as a constitutional crisis in the UK. Now, the problem with the UK is that a lot of the UK common law and parliamentary law, administrative law, that is unwritten, except for one Act of Parliament, which concerns how a general election, the Fixed Term Parliament Act I'm talking about, where an X amount of MPs have to vote for a general election, and I think 2 weeks after the initial vote of no confidence, a second one has to take place. And that was brought in by the Conservative Party Liberal Democratic government in 2010. Before that, it would have been parliamentary convention if you lose a motion like that, then you would call a general election. And it was an unwritten rule that you'd do that, and that was in place for hundreds of years. So we now are, of course, in uncharted territories, because this new piece of legislation has hardly been tested by any sort of crisis or government or parliament, for that matter. And what we've seen here in the UK is Parliament has actually put down its authority several times, and it's come under heavy criticism and, in fact, attack from the government. But it's actually, in fact, doing its job, holding the executive to account as the legislature. There we go. That's my best pronunciation to it. And it's been doing its job. Now, the Speaker in particular has come under attack for his rulings in what can only be described as a very desperate government, as it hangs on to power. But as I say, looking back, under convention, it should really resign and call for a general election, or alternatively for the 2010 fixed term act to be enforced, and an election to unlock the what is appears to be a deadlock in Parliament. Because how can we have this to in and fro in? What's going to happen next? It's everything's fragmenting. It's incredible. You'll never see anything like it in your life. But what future is there for Brexit? Is it dead in the water? Is that your opinion? Do text in. Text in. You could text in. It won't get you very far. Do tweet in to at This Is Jim Tracks FM on Twitter with your views of whether you think Brexit is over, or you feel that you've been conned by Brexit. Was it what you thought it was? And I tell you, if Parliament does disentune itself, if there is such a word, or comes out of favour with the general public, won't it spark the far left or far right off into this? I mean, people are going to take their grievances somewhere. At the same time, we've got our eye on what happens with the no confidence motion tonight that the government faces. I mean, I think that the Conservative Party, with assistance of the DUP, will survive it, which is just morally wrong and completely now discredits the whole of the Conservative Party and the and the Prime Minister, really. I mean, how can you govern a country where you've been battered, really, from pillar to post with votes of varying no confidences and still insist on hanging on? It's incredible. Never known anything like it. And, of course, in according to this morning's Guardian, wouldn't you, if you were him? Because what a lot of people don't realise is that we're still EU citizens, and there's still a responsibility under EU law for its citizens, as Tusk calls for the UK to abandon Brexit, as he says May's defeat means deal looks impossible. So it's a complete mess. I think the most sensible thing I've heard in all of this is extend Article 50, start again, and let's have a meaningful cross-party discussion, project, work on it. It doesn't help when you say that and then you exclude the leader of the opposition from those discussions. Where are we going with this? The economy is now suffering. The pound is up and down like a yo-yo. Where are we going to go with this? Because I can't see it going anywhere. It's beyond redemption. We're not going to be able to salvage anything. And the only way forward, I mean, you could avoid a general election if you put something to the opposition that they would vote for. But at the moment, there isn't anything. And if you're a worker in a particular firm or anywhere for that matter, what is in it for you as the small person? I'll be abundantly clear with you now, crystal clear with you. Absolutely nothing. Now, getting back to Donald Tusk, he made a thinly veiled call for the UK to stay in the EU following last night's vote, according to The Guardian, suggesting the Prime Minister's historic loss in Parliament left a deal looking impossible. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to look at Google News today, but all the European newspapers are just wondering what is going on here in the UK, because I begin to wonder what is going on. And of course, what's happening is, and this might be a convenient distraction, is all the other domestic issues like homelessness, the NHS and public services and education are all being pushed aside out of the news because of this. So we need to conclude it one way or the other. We want your thoughts here at Tracks FM. Let us know. On at 7, bang on the money, will be John Bowd. I wonder what he's got to say about things. I don't even know what issue he's got. He's going to cover tonight, but he's texted me to see if I'm on. So I said, yes, I'm on air tonight. I hope you are too. David, it's back over to you for maybe a music break or a Jonathan Pye break. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, we will be going to Jonathan. Jonathan's got some insights. He wants to ask Tim, his producer, whether he's got his money's worth.
Yes.
Look, there's some... And some of the mainstream media on TV concentrated on it, and it's a bit wishy-washy. Could you explain about the Irish border, hard border, and the risks of that? Because that seems to be getting over. I understand it. I understand the importance of the Good Friday Agreement, which is an international agreement. But if you could explain about the hard border thingy-majig.
Thingy-majig. We'll have an Irish thing if you look new. Remember the thingy-majig. Right, the backstop, as it's been referred to as, is... I'm not quite... I don't think it's actually lawful, Dave, because the Good Friday Agreement recognises the British border with Ireland. Now, what this is where it's going to get interesting. Now the Good Friday Agreement recognises the six states of Ireland as part of Northern Ireland. So with a backstop, what they're saying is we'll rip that up, that border, and put it in the sea between the UK mainland and Ireland. But then you have what would be recognised as a united Ireland, which is what which goes against the Good Friday Agreement, which is what the DUP are very much against, although many in Ireland would argue that the border actually should be starting in the sea. But that's not what was agreed at the Good Friday Agreement. So what you could be doing, Dave, is and listeners need to understand this, is you could actually invite a fresh civil war in Ireland, because you're going to be redrawing the political map and breaking international law. And by the way, international law is a code of conduct. There's no way of legally enforcing it, but it gives whatever side the argument it needs for the moral high ground. So by putting a backstop in the Irish Sea and removing the border, you're going to rip up the Good Friday Agreement and run the risk of a new civil war. So I mean that's dead in the water in itself. But what I think a lot of UK residents want to know is, where's David Cameron in all of this? How does that man escape prosecution for the mess? And actually, not just him, Nigel Farage, Michael Gove, Boris Johnson, all these people that spun a tale of web deceit and lies over immigration and stoked up racism and the far right in the UK, where are they all? I mean, they should be accountable into a court of law, a proper court of law, not a vigilante action. But certainly, I mean, although arguably you could say that they behaved in the way like vigilantes. It's incredible. But I hope that goes some way of describing or explaining in layman terms the issue around an Irish border, Dave.
Thank you very much, Judge. After the Music Bay break, a bit more from Judge Jim. And don't forget, up at 7, we're going live again with John Bowd and All The Rage.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
You need a freak like me to make love to your body. Oh,
Does it feel good? Does it feel good for you? Cause it should feel good.
Son of Lee Walker and DJ Dion. I love him a bit, Dennis Skinner, and he accused half the Tories, half of you are crooks, he said. The speaker said, you can't say that. He said, I retract that, Mr. Speaker, the other half all right. So you listen to Judge Jim's Big Debate, welcome back, Judge. And what a subject or subjects to come back to, something that we've not seen historically, certainly not in my time. I think the biggest vote I've seen was 1979. I think it was something like 70 votes or something against the government of the day. Judge, take it away.
Yeah, 1979, Dave, was one vote. That was lucky Jim Callaghan that lost, and arguably, that was the start of Thatcherism, although 2 years before that, him and Chancellor Dennis Healey actually put in Thatcherite policies in place, i.e. austerity and wage cuts, freezes and all the rest of it. Just something that's come up on Twitter from the Daily Telegraph. It's funny. You mean people look... Who would have thought? It's normally... The media that makes out that it's the Labour Party that creates runs on the pound and high interest rates, and the FTSE takes a dive where the Labour Party get elected. But it says here there's five six points that it makes. It says sterling jumps 1.3% against euro in strongest rally in 11 months. Markets are buoyed by defeat, opening up a range of options. Mark Carney, that's the government of the governor of the Bank of England, warned of continued volatility on the markets. City hopes no deal is deal after cheering Theresa May's historic defeat. Theresa May refuses to rule out extending Article 50. And the final point is Brexit dream is over, or so say the markets. They are probably right. It's interesting, very interesting how the markets have reacted to that, because you would think, and that's from the Daily Telegraph as well, with their opinions, you'd think that they'd be backing her up, but they're not, are they? I think they've all turned tail on this one, although many of them, it has to be said, I think, David, that many of them, the Daily Mail, the Daily Express, the Sun, the Telegraph, all backed Brexit, and they helped feed the lies and mislead the general public into voting to come out of Europe. These people should be brought to account for it. We've got to find a way of doing it without, of course, compromising the free press, but there's some parts of the free press that are abusing that privilege. And I don't actually know if you've got an opinion on that, David.
Well, it's interesting. I put together a collage of the Daily Mail's headlines over the last 2 years, and pretty much it was racist.
Yeah.
Pretty much it was racist. Yeah. And one thing I did put on the post is people are saying, where did this all come from? And when you put this collage together of the Daily Mail, it was pretty terrible, actually. It's pretty terrible. And you can see what I've found in my experience is if you want people to believe something well enough, you blitzkrieg them with fear.
Mm.
And it creates such hysteria. And let's be honest, a lot of these right-wing groups, and John's probably more of an expert than me, the only expertise I've got is as I'm a member of the ethnic minority, is these people aren't just, you know, they're funded, they're backed by whoever. I mean, I've got a lot of theories, as you have, Judge. They're not backed by some sort of whip round. Forget it. It's millions or millionaires. And remember, and I'll say it a thousand times, racism starts with the elite. Right? Working class people really didn't have a problem with the mining in the 30s and 40s, 50s and 60s. It starts from the elite. Judge?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The funding comes from other governments. I mean, if the rebel media online company that seem to have gone quiet at the moment, but you could never expect them to just go away. They're not going to do that. They handpicked a load of bullies and thugs with the assistance of their front man, Stephen Yaxley Lennon, and that was. That really was quite interesting how that happened, and that funding came, they say, from Israel. What's happened to that? I mean, I know a lot of those people that claim to be far right patriots have now just been disbanded and thrown back to where they came from. But I'm just looking at Private Eye here, and it's got some interesting statistics about Brexit, and just worth a mention. Before I do that, though, I just want to have a mention. I do every year of the New Year's honours lists that you don't see that's published in Private Eye, and of particular interest came a woman named Alice Britton, who earns £2.3 million a year as chief executive of the hotel, cafe, restaurant group Whitbread, now has a CBE2 for services to business. Last year, Channel 4's Dispatches exposed how Whitbread's hotel chain Premier Inn exploited its workers. Before joining Whitbread, Britton was head of retail banking at Lloyd's from 2011 to 2015. In 2015, the Financial Conduct Authority fined Lloyd's £117 million for unfairly rejecting complaints made by customers from 2012 to 2013 over missold PPI policies. Interesting, very interesting. But turning back to the number crunching statistics here in Private Eye about Brexit. 89 lorries were used in the government's rehearsal this week for increased traffic jams on the road to Dover in an event of a no-deal Brexit. This is in comparison to 16,000 lorries which actually go through Dover on busiest days. 14 minutes behind schedule that rehearsal lorries set off, despite not needing customs checks, as will be the case in reality. £122 billion total value of goods passing through Dover in 2017. More number crunching from Private Eye here. 15,000 total number of civil servants working to accelerate our preparation for Brexit, according to the government's latest no-deal scenario bulletin. 13,000 is the number. Total number of civil servants at Her Majesty's Treasury, Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, Department for International Trade and Department for Exiting the EU put together. Zero, by the way, zero trade agreements for the UK if Brexit actually happens with any other country in the world. In fact, we're the only country in the world, if we did leave Europe, and I always said 2 years ago it's never going to happen, would be the only country in the world that would have a trade agreement with anybody. Nobody. Zero. Be on our own. No Donald Trump. He's finished. He's going. He's not in control. He's losing it. Let's see if I can find any more. Let's have a look in here. Private Eye, they normally hide these things in the back, but that gives you an idea of the mammoth scale of the operation that's going on in preparation of Brexit by this government, and it's not going to actually happen. It's not going to happen, I'm telling you now. It's going to get cancelled. The whole lot's going to get cancelled. It's over. Very, very interesting stuff, isn't it? Hey, what's going on behind the scenes? Let's have a look back at the Guardian. that says, well, how, first of all, how do our listeners out there see on how we can move this issue forward, if at all? If it can be moved on at all. But let's see. We may not even have a government tomorrow if the vote of no confidence goes the right way, but I don't think it will. David, I think it's probably now back over to you for a music break.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jonathan Pine. He's got a tour out at the moment. But we're going to go to him. He's outside Westminster. John?
One of the most important days in British constitutional history. But ultimately, we are still very much in the dark as to what Brexit will actually mean for Great Britain. Tim, this is what happens when you vote Tory. This is what happens when you vote Tory. The country is on its knees, Tim. All right, show me one person in this country that is happy with the way the country is being run right now. Find me one person. Are you happy with your purchase, Tim? You happy with your purchase? Real average earnings, roughly £500 less than 10 years ago. There is serious talk of having to appoint a minister of food so that our kids don't starve to death. Not Islam, Tim. 4 million children in this country are at risk of malnutrition right now. Since Cameron walked into number 10, homelessness has increased by, what is it? I think it's like 140%. 999 waiting times have doubled. 20,000 less police officers. The NHS is a husk of its former glory a decade ago. Look at what 9 years of Tory rule has done. The country's fist off. Tim, this government has turned ineptitude into an Olympic sport. The other day, the Transport Secretary was unable to organise a traffic jam. This government is such a fuck-up, it can't organise a fuck-up. Which brings us neatly back to Brexit. What a fuck-up that they can't organise. The easiest deal in history, remember that? The easiest deal in history. And there's the rub. This wasn't a fuck-up deal at all, Theresa. It was a vague outline. That's why no one voted for it. You haven't done what you said you'd do. You promised legal assurances about the backstop. You haven't done it. Your deal doesn't deal with it. Your deal doesn't deal with much. You haven't done your job. And neither have either of the three Brexit secretaries that you appointed. When May started, it was Brexit means Brexit. Then it was a hard Brexit. Then a red, white and blue Brexit. At no point did you promise us an up-to-the-elbow Brexit, did you? I don't remember that as a manifesto pledge. Hold the entire country to ransom Brexit. The Tories have torn this country apart, ripped it to shreds. A country divided like never before. Every UK citizen shouting, you're either with me or against me. You either agree with me or you're scum. You read the wrong paper, you're a fascist. You write for the wrong paper, you're definitely a fascist. No one trusting or listening to anyone else. Split down the middle, at each other's throats. Every single British citizen is so fussed right now. It's fussed. 9 years of Tory rule. The nation is on its knees. Oh, and we're leaving the EU in, oh, what? A matter of weeks. Happy with your purchase, Tim? Maybe this was her plan all along, you know, to finally bring the country together. For one tiny moment last night, the country, parliament, politicians on both sides of the aisle, leavers, remainers, they all came together in solidarity, put partisan squabbles aside and spoke in unison. And what they said was this: this deal is schnick off. Well, as you can see, Westminster is teeming with activity once again.
That's Jonathan. Jonathan's not happy. But then, who is at the moment? But what I would say to everyone is, look, what you're seeing being played out in front of you is down to one thing and one thing only. It's about careers and self-preservation, okay? And what it's doing is spreading fear amongst us and creating division. Don't fall for it. These people are experts at it. They've been doing it for years. Yeah, there are some things happening in this country that has divided us. Things like poverty, homelessness, austerity, things like the banking crisis, the famous words, the banking crisis. No one batted an eyelid when we renationalised the banks. And no one batted an eyelid when they were still getting bankers' bonuses. It's those sort of things that divide us. Take a step back. Judge?
Yes. Yes, indeed. I was here. I was just looking at, keeping an eye on Twitter. Very interesting tweets come up, funny enough, from a trade union branch called the Harran District CWU. And it's saying about what the press said about the man, as this is in reference to Jeremy Corbyn, the man is a loony, that man will do nothing, that man will destroy the Labour Party. They said all these things. And he's probably been now, on record, the most effective opposition leader in 150 years, as the summary says. You know, people that say, oh, well, he's too old, he's too useless, or he's too that, or he's too, you know, some might say, and some do say, he's not the best politician. Well, he might not be the best speaker, but he's probably one of the top strategists you'll ever see. And just reflecting on that, he's inflicted the biggest ever defeat on a government. He's won the first vote ever finding a government in contempt of Parliament. He's forced the first defeat on a finance bill in 40 years. And some in the media, it says at the bottom, say Corbyn isn't good at opposition. Well, there you are. And that's not forgetting the 2017 general election, where he pulled the Labour Party. What was it? He was 25% in the opinion polls, with the Conservatives at something like 42%, and he pulled, well, him and John McDonnell and the rest of the Labour Party pulled them right up to neck and neck with the Conservatives to actually force this issue after Theresa May gambled her, 20 majority, I think she had, to try and increase it, after telling the country there'll be no snap general election, and she called one, and that gave Mr. Corbyn and the Labour Party the opportunity it needed to get even closer to number 10 Downing Street, and the rest, as they say, is history, and that's where we are now. Just in via BBC News on Twitter, it says that upskirting is to be a crime after Lords backs bill. A woman took her campaign to MPs after a man took pictures of her crutch area at a gig in London's Hyde Park. This comes from a tweet from the Mayor of London. No, I'm not on about Ian Murphy. I'm about the real one, who is the son of a bus driver, apparently. One of my priorities is to tackle violence against women and girls in the capital. I've repeatedly called for legislation to tackle this form of sexual harassment. Congratulations to Gina Martin UK on her successful campaign to make upskirting illegal. So some very good news there, a step closer to ruling that out. Up at 7, so do stay tuned, is All the Rage with Jonathan Bowd. Following him at 8 o'clock is the David R.B. Show, the Badger Set session. And he'll be taking us through to the witching hour tonight. Fueled, no doubt, by Budweiser. You're listening to Judge Jim's Big Debate. We've got a show that just keeps moving. It's in perpetual motion as things keep coming in. There's tweets all the time. The Morning Star repeats on Twitter, Corbyn to May, do the right thing and resign. The Labour leader calls on the Prime Minister to let the people decide the way ahead with a general election. Please, your thoughts here. Get in touch with us. I don't care where you are in the world. Let's see, you must have an opinion. You might even be an expat living in Europe or maybe the Caribbean or somewhere. Sky News is reporting EU has been quoted as saying cutting slack on Article 50 extension is the latest from Brussels ahead of tonight's no vote of confidence vote. What else have we got here? Let's have a look. Anything else other than Brexit that might grab your interest? Well, we've done a New Year's honours list just a moment ago. I don't know if you caught that, Dave. Actually, it's quite quite interesting. Again, the same old with the New Year's Honours list. What I found quite interesting, sorry to recap, go over it again, but probably important. Let me just find the page. They do it every year, Private Eye, this time of year. Must get back to that. I found some. Before we do, I just want to, before the second music break, I brought up some number crunching statistics from Private Eye. I just want to finish off, actually, because always quite interesting. It puts it into context, numbers, and I'll get back to that New Year's Honours list. Number crunching on page 10 of this today's Private Eye. 221 migrants who tried to enter the UK by boat, which government deemed as a major incident. I mean, I couldn't work that out. I mean, I... That was just a distraction from things for me. I was sat there over Christmas, and this kept coming up over on the news wire. And I thought, "That's what?" I thought they meant there was an invasion going on, but there wasn't. 221. I tell you what, and I'm being perfectly straight now about this. There might have been 221 migrants crossing the Channel because. Over Christmas, the English Channel was like a mill pond. It was flat, and it probably made crossing a lot easier. But there's 308 homeless people in Worthing. So that kind of puts it into context. Yet they release a government minister, senior government minister. Not only is he a senior government minister, David, they're actually tipping him as taking over from Theresa May. And he went down there to oversee it. Yet he's got 308 homeless people in Worthing, probably twice the amount of that, if not three times the amount of that, in Brighton. And yet you don't see any government ministers coming down for that. Moving on and back to the numbers games, we've got 294,000 migrants who tried to enter Spain, Greece, Italy and Cyprus by boat last year. Just under that, you've got 1 million... Just over 1,015,078 migrants who tried to cross the Mediterranean in 2015 when genuine migrant crisis was at its height. So it was just a publicity stunt. You know, you saw all the headlines. Home Secretary cancels short his holiday to come and oversee 221 migrant major incident crisis. It just makes you laugh. It was quite offensive, really, when you've got 308 people in Worthing homeless. And some more number crunching. 143,227 pounds, the cost of flights, hotels and other expenses for UK's 32 trade envoys last year, which Best for Britain campaign says raises serious questions about their effectiveness. £14 million estimated of cost of flights, hotels and security expenses for Prince Andrew during the decade he did the same job, describing himself as cheap at the price. So there you are. Have a look at that. Do your maths. It doesn't take much, does it? The New Year's Honours list. I'll touch on this again, actually, and I think we'll probably go for a music break. I was talking about... Alison Britton, who earns £2.3 million a year as chief executive of the hotel, cafe and restaurant group Whitbread, now has a CBE2 for services to business. Last year, Channel 4's dispatches exposed how Whitbread's hotel chain Premier Inn exploited its workers. Before joining Whitbread, Britton was head of retail banking at Lloyds from 2011 to 2015. In 2015, the Financial Conduct Authority fined Lloyds £117 million for unfairly rejecting complaints made by customers from 2012 to 2013 over mis-sold PPI policies. So, again, we've got this country rewards failure. Wholesale rewards failure. Everywhere you go, it rewards failure. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Pay rises for the few, nothing for the many. And that's all right. That's fine. It's incredible. What else have we got here? We've got Theresa May also gave which had good reason, it says, to be grateful to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs Chief Executive John Thompson, whose helpful comments have often been quoted during the Brexit negotiations. We do not believe, and this has been our constant advice to ministers, we do not believe we require any infrastructure at the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland under any circumstances, he told MPs in December 2017. That might not look like a smart reassurance by the time the next honours list comes round, so he should himself perhaps be grateful for his pre-shitstorm knighthood, the private eye says. Let's have a look in the chat room, so we've got any contributions being made. Oh, it's a quiet night tonight, that's fine. Let's have a look at Twitter. James O'Brien from LBC, he said, remember when she was strong and stable? Socialist tipster, the general public voted for Brexit because they felt political class wasn't listening to them. Along comes someone who reinforces the message that they are still not listening to them. I repeat, a second referendum is for knaves or fools. That's a good point, actually. If we had another referendum, listeners, wouldn't we be getting the old stage platform out for the same old players once again to spin their yarn and tell us a load of lies? Is it now probably the only way we conclude this, a general election? It's up to you. Get in touch with us here at Tracks FM. David, it's over to you for the music break.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.
sound of Rod Stewart and If You Think I'm Sexy. Listen, just before I hand over to Judge, just a couple of things that are bothering me, and they have bothered me over the last 2 years. I've seen some posts on personal attacks on Sadiq Khan for no reason whatsoever. Not his policies, not anything. And I'll say this, I know what you're about. I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Right? He's born here. He's one of six brothers. I think they were good boxers as well. All six brothers who were good boxers. Their father was a bus driver. Not like Boris Johnson. Okay? No one ever talks about the previous mayor and criticise his policies and his behaviour. His parliamentary behaviour, his behaviour in general, calling African children pickaninnies. So when you criticise Sadiq Khan, I know what you're talking about. Take it from me, I know what you're saying. I know why you're doing it. For no reason whatsoever. Actually, someone did have a debate with me and said they wish they had the GLC back. So I know what you're saying. So I had to school them on the GLC. Right? So, anyway, Judge, I'm getting annoyed. Take it away.
That's quite right. Quite all right. In the break, just been making some notes actually on an interesting article. It's a very good magazine actually. If you've got time to buy it and wind it, read it. Oh, I've almost got my words all wrong tonight. It's the Prospect magazine. It's a bit of a centre left leaning magazine, and it's asking, could Britain wind up extending Article 50 now? It's quite an in-depth article that I've had to read in about 5 minutes, but I've made some notes. It's made some very strong academic arguments in terms of the mechanics of Brexit and leaving the EU. As I've been saying and trying to explain to people that mostly that want it and for it to go ahead and voted for it, they don't seem to appreciate that it you can't just go, right, we're off, boy, that's it, shut it up. You can't do that. It'd be a bit like taking the engine out of a car and still expecting it to go along the motorway quite nicely at the right speed and stop and everything. What Prospect magazine is saying is that the UK government was originally wrong, as a lot of people did say at the time, to set a 2-year target for Brexit. Because the reason it gives, and you've got to really fully appreciate and understand this, it's quite hard, but I'll give it a go. In this country, because we signed up to the European Community Act in 1972, European law is primary legislation, i.e. it's the most important overruling law that comes into the UK Parliament. UK parliamentary law is secondary. But if you pass it through Parliament, it then becomes UK secondary law. So really, it's a glove-in-hand kind of scenario, if you like. It's the best way I can describe it off the top of my head. And the way the European Community Act works, it acts as a framework that joins the sovereignty of the UK Parliament to the supreme law of the EU. And the important bridge between the common law of the UK. If you remember, at the beginning of the show, I said that most of the constitutional law in this country, it's probably about 99% of it, is actually unwritten, despite the fact of Britain after World War II running around the world and Europe, making sure that they implemented written constitutions, and we never have. So what it's arguing is, if just to take it out in 2 years through the withdrawal bill, you're doing exactly that. You're taking a car out onto the motorway and then trying to remove the engine out of that car. It's not going to happen. It's going to slow down, stop, stall, and it may even crash. So to do that, it's never difficult. Too difficult to do, and it's well worth a brief read and getting your head round mix at Queen's College at Cambridge from the and that's the law college are saying about it all, and they were saying it 2 years ago, because I can well remember it. So let's, I mean, again, let's have a look at what Twitter's coming up with now. I mean, it's just going viral on it. It's madness. We touched on James O'Brien earlier. John Bowd still due on at 7? He is, isn't it? Yeah, he is, yeah. That's good. Right, let's have a look here. Just saw something from Sky News saying that on the PM kicks off at the Commons. So I wonder if Mr. Speaker John Bercow might have to dissolve the debate for tempers to calm. I'm not sure. Some pictures coming through. Let's see. We've got the Labour Party front bench looks quite calm. That looks okay. I'm not going to play it because the sound will come out. But we don't want to lose any listeners going off on the Sky watching stuff when we want them here listening to us. thanks. John's tuned in. He's got Toblerone, apparently. Ah, this is the interesting character. I like this tweet here. If I can find it, it's gone past very quickly. It's about Tim Martin, the guy that owns or runs Witherspoon's pub. He's played on the Brexit card in remarketing the pub chain recently, quite a lot. Let's have a look here. Oh, come on. Slow laptop, I'm afraid. Oh, well, hang on. If you bear with me, all this, as I should just get there. Can I get there in time? I don't think I can find it now. There's so much going on here. I mean, here's something important. Member states, Germany and France, according to The Guardian, are attempting to plot out their terms for extending the negotiation beyond March the 29th. So they don't want the UK to leave. Oh, here we are. This is Michael White. And watching Witherspoon's non-exporting boss, Tim Martin, on local BBC TV news. Yet again, talking smug rubbish about Brexit and backing Love Rat Boris for PM, which is conclusive proof of idiocy. Why do they interview him? Why indeed do they do? Yeah, there we go. Anyway, just setting Brexit aside just for a few minutes whilst John finishes off his Toblerone. There's been a lot of action online, not just recently, but over the last 12 months, 2 years, of vigilante groups and child protection and catching paedophiles, or alleged paedophiles, that is. I don't know what your view is out there, listeners, of this, but I do really struggle with it, because I've seen recent film online. I'm not going to go into the case because I don't want to be responsible for jeopardising a trial under case law, because despite what people think of the judiciary, it is the best system to deal with anything like this. And I'm against it, because I don't think these actual child protection vigilante groups are about child protection. As we've seen, a lot of them, there's been many cases that have been linked to paedophile groups as themselves and the far right. I'm of an opinion that these vigilante groups actually go out, and they're not about child protection, they're about themselves, getting themselves made famous and taking the spotlight away for their own activities, what they get up to. And it's been proven in case law about cases get lost through entrapment. There's case law around that, and of course trial by social media as well. I mean, I do know of one case that I can't go into at the moment that's going to go to an appeal, because the whole case was a trial by social media. So it's absolutely impossible that the individual got a fair trial, and there are the vigilante group are involved in the far right. And there's been counter allegations too about that particular far right group. I won't be naming them, but I'm sure people will know what I'm on about. They think it's gone away and gone dead, but I've got some funny feeling that some things might get reversed on it. But there we go. Dave, over to you.
Thanks very much. Don't forget, coming up in 4 minutes' time, we've got All the Rage.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
I'm going to add John to the Skype, yeah, so when I come back. Judge is going to be with us for our annual show as well, yeah?